Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
From WBUR Boston, and this is special coverage of 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Asbrook, host of On Point Public Radio's evening news program. The race for the Democratic presidential nomination cuts a broad swath across the country tonight, north, south, east, and west. Primary voters in 10 states, Georgia, Ohio, Maryland, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, Vermont, and California have spent the day at the primaries. Minnesotans will soon begin their caucuses. At stake, a huge 1,151 delegates. John Kerry came into Super Tuesday with about a third of the delegates needed to secure the nomination already sewn up. Opinion polls suggest the Massachusetts senator may be unstoppable. North Carolina's John Edwards says he's going on to the next round no matter what, but it is clear he needs wins tonight to continue as a serious contender. At this hour, polls have just closed in Vermont and Georgia. Howard Dean is being projected winner in Vermont tonight. John Kerry is projected leading in Georgia. Dennis Kucinich has gone before his home state voters in Ohio today. Al Sharpton has done the same in New York. We'll have reports from across the country tonight. We'll have results the minute they're available. We'll look ahead to the contest shaping up between the Democratic nominee and George Bush, and we welcome your calls. Are you ready to see it wrapped up tonight? How does a Kerry-Bush face-off look to you? Better than Edwards Bush or not? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me in the studio is On Point News analyst Jack Beatty, senior editor of the Atlantic Monthly. Hello, Jack. Good to have you here.
Hello, Tom. Thank you.
And with us tonight from Seattle, Washington, is Kathy Allen, Democratic political strategist. She heads up the Seattle-based Campaign Connection, which has run more than 150 campaigns in 30 states and on three continents. Nice to have you back to On Point, Kathy Allen.
Glad to be here.
If you two will stand by, I want to go straight to early results. We're joined from Atlanta, Georgia, by Tom Baxter, chief political reporter for the Atlanta Constitution. Hello, Tom Baxter.
Hello.
So, very early minutes down there. The polls have just closed in Georgia. What's coming across the transom, Tom?
Well, of course, we don't have results yet, and so we're relying on exit polling that we've seen earlier in the day, and that would indicate that this will probably be Kerry's closest state. But if the results verify the exit polling, he'll win here, too.
What were the polls showing in advance? How much of a lead was Kerry holding in the opinion surveys in advance of today's vote, Tom?
Kerry, in our tracking polling late last week, had widened out to a double-digit lead. And then Edwards, as he has in a number of states, closed fairly late, and we saw a real closing in exit polling, or rather tracking polling yesterday. But apparently it was not enough to really pull him into a lead, and he'll probably keep Kerry to less than a 10-point victory here, which maybe is an achievement tonight, but not enough, really, I don't think, to continue his candidacy.
An achievement, but not a victory. And he wanted and perhaps really needed a victory in Georgia.
That's right.
This is the Southern Senator. Sorry, Tom. This is the Southern Senator from North Carolina. If he hasn't brought it home, and it looks as though he may not have, why not? Why do you think John Edwards hasn't swung that Southern vote?
One of the things that we're seeing today in exit polling is that African-American voters tilted very decidedly toward Kerry, and there are a couple of reasons for that. He had the endorsement of John Lewis and a couple of other African-American members of Congress and got probably the most coveted endorsement in the state very late, and that is the endorsement of Atlanta Mayor Shirley Franklin, who introduced him and finally went over to his side in a rally last night.
And, Tom, what's your sense of how John Kerry has played? He may win Georgia tonight. How deep is the enthusiasm in Georgia? Georgia has swung heavily toward the GOP in recent years. What is Kerry's presence, his campaigning there, tell you about how he may do in November?
Kerry said today that he intended to come back here and campaign, and I think the Democrats absolutely want to contest states like Georgia. You would still consider him a real long shot for the fall here, but I think we're going to see some lessons learned from the Gore campaign and an effort to really keep states like Georgia and North Carolina competitive as long as they can.
And we've seen with John Kerry all the way through this primary season, Max Cleland, always on the stage with him, lost three limbs in Vietnam, was pushed out of the Senate in a very aggressive Republican campaign his last time at bat. How much has Max Cleland, Georgian, meant to John Kerry?
You know, I think he means something to him nationally that perhaps he did not mean in this particular race, which is not to say that former Senator Cleland's not popular in Georgia, but I believe that he's been a real spark for veterans across the country and has been a real symbolic motivator for Democrats everywhere. I saw Senator Cleland campaigning for Senator Kerry in Iowa, and there's a very emotional connection with his story, and I think that we'll hear a lot more about it in the campaign ahead.
A taste of the South and a taste of Georgia, even if, as you say, he may not have met that much in Georgia. Tom Baxter, thanks very much for being with us tonight from Atlanta.
You're quite welcome.
Tom Baxter, chief political reporter at the Atlanta Constitution. Jack Beatty and Kathy Allen, here we are. Early results showing that it may indeed be Kerry in Georgia. What do you have there, Jack?
I've got some exit polls. Big gender gap, 50% female, 37 for Edwards. That's for Kerry. And the racial skew is really something. Edwards takes white men and white women, 56, 57. Kerry takes non-white men and non-white women, 61-62. And then when asked again and again, we see this in these primaries, when asked who can beat Bush and is that the most important issue, 67% Kerry, 29% Edwards. And it's interesting, Kerry does well. I mean, Edwards does well, as he has in the past, among independents, 68%. Among Republicans, he gets 68%. And among independents, he gets 52%. But Republicans are only 9% of the field, of the voters, and independents only 20%.
Well, we'll be getting results coming in over this the balance of this hour, and we'll get first results coming in at 7:30 from Critical Ohio. We'll look at Howard Dean in Vermont in just a moment. But Kathy Allen, first to you, what do you make of these early noises coming out of Georgia? What does it mean for John Kerry? What does it mean for John Edwards?
I think what you're starting to see is the Democratic primary fatigue. It is possible to love to listen to John Edwards, but at this point, we want to get on with the big one. We want to move into a general election strategy so that even though you might be feeling the southern pull for John Edwards, you're still going to go to the polls and say, I want to get on with it.
And we may be seeing that in Georgia tonight because people are ready to see it wrapped up. But this is the southern boy, the southern candidate, the North Carolinian. If it was going to happen, if he was going to be able to stretch it on to the next southern contest, it was supposed to happen here, Kathy.
Yes, in fact, I was listening to the early exit polls that were talking about a 10-digit difference with Kerry leading Edwards, and my interest was in looking at exactly who they were. Indeed, what we are seeing is a very specific gap in terms of people of color, particularly moving towards Kerry. You're seeing right now a general move of even the closing of some of the parts of that gender gap, the younger members moving now to Kerry. This is something that is starting to look like the whip. We are seeing that Democratic whip into a general election kind of fever. Not that this primary season has moved on too long, but the American public has a very short time frame for getting excited about the contest. We want to move on to the big one.
Many more results to come in tonight, but let's step back for just a second and look at Vermont. John Edwards was not on the ballot in Vermont. When Howard Dean was still in the race, he didn't think it was even worthwhile to be there. And we are seeing Vermonters, Jack Beatty, standing by their man tonight, an overwhelming victory for he who has withdrawn from the race, Howard Dean.
Yes, and if I may confess a bias, I'm glad. I mean, he deserves this little mark of dignity. He's done nothing to harm the state, and The newspapers up there were full of this all week long. His supporters were writing letters to the editor, to the Valley News in Norwich, Vermont, saying, you know, we've got to win this one for the Gipper or for Dr. Dean. And so I think it's the homeboy, and they're giving him a little tip of the hat.
A little glory to go out on. Kathy Allen, look ahead with us through the balance of this evening. We have a lot more results to come in. As I said, at 7:30, we should begin to hear from Ohio, and then right on through the evening with California on the West Coast, of course, coming in last. Overall, what are you looking for tonight?
Well, I'm not looking at the impact of East Coast races determining what's going to happen on the West Coast, as we do in some of these races. What we do now see is that this should be an easy and early evening for all involved. I can tell you that I think that the early exit polls in Ohio still look as if it's going to be Kerry, and not by a little. I think that California's exit polls today were showing that it was Kerry in a pretty handy way. The one thing I might mention about Vermont and Dr. Dean, this last week when Dean became important when it came to rallying an awful lot of the younger voters to make sure they didn't go running towards Ralph Nader, but they stayed put in terms of this Democratic Party, I think we're starting to see the perhaps grooming of the next role of Howard Dean. I think he still remains important as a player. I think this move in Vermont tonight was just a nice touch that keeps him motivating young voters all over the country.
We're going to be watching the results as they come in. You can join us tonight. Are you ready to see it wrapped up tonight? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Linda is calling from Quincy, Massachusetts. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I listen to your show every night, and I love the objectivity of it.
Thanks, Linda.
My opinion and my comment is that I believe that the Democrats of our country, although John Edwards is a very good candidate, the Democrats of our country are looking for who is going to be able to beat Bush.
That's the mantra, isn't it? That's what we hear.
The bottom line is that Kerry has a wonderful track record. He's a war hero. He's an incredible orator, the best orator we have in the Democratic Party. And I really believe strongly, although I like John Edwards very much and hope to see him as his running mate, I really believe that Kerry will sweep the Democratic nomination simply because he is the candidate that will be able to beat Bush.
But Linda, let me ask you, Linda. You're from Massachusetts, Senator Kerry's home state. You know he also has this characterization. He's aloof. He's patrician, and most of all, and the Republicans will pound on this, he is capital L liberal. They'll say, and there are many vote tracking services that would say so as well. Do you think that will play in November?
I do indeed think that will play in November. However, as liberal as he is also very well aware of what stances he can take to the extreme left and what stances he has to compromise in order to be able to beat an incumbent wartime president. For example, the gay union thing.
Right, he's not
now,
for gay marriage, he is for civil union.
For him. That could cost him the election. If he had gone for the gay marriage, which I frankly believe people have a right to, if he had gone for that exclusively, I believe it would have cost him the election, and we need him in office.
So you see a pragmatist there.
He chose a very good middle ground.
A kind of pragmatic ground. Linda, thanks for your call. Jack Beatty, John Kerry, the pragmatist. Is he going to be able to carry that mantle, or will the Republicans wrap him up in liberal, and will it sink him or not?
Well, they're certainly going to try that. The National Journal, which is an objective source over the weekend, named him the most liberal senator in this Congress. But they counted votes that hardly seemed liberal. That is, you were voted liberal if you voted against President Bush's prescription drug plan. They'll try to run that. They'll try to, you know, go back to the 1988 campaign. But it's getting kind of stale. I mean, there are the reports on President Bush's slippage, even in rural areas, suburban areas, among independents. He has been on a kind of negative roll. And unless something happens to reverse course for him, he could actually run this race as the underdog.
And Kathy Allen, at this moment, tonight, many more results to come. But if it's a Kerry Bush standoff, face-off, how do you see it?
I think that it looks really good for me in terms of watching who has not spoken in presidential campaigns before that's likely to be a player in this one? Young voters, we tentatively look at people under the age of 35, used to be under the age of 24, but now young voters are characterized as under 34, and just the number of young people that are likely to vote because they want to say in this year's world, the fact that there is a war going on, there are an awful lot of issues involving jobs they don't have that are becoming very vital, so that I think that this is a year where we're going to see at least an effort to include the voters that usually don't end up, even in presidential years, coming to the ballot box.
We'll be looking for that. Kathy Allen, Jack Beattie, stand by. We've got to take a short break. We're looking at Super Tuesday results tonight from across the country. You can join the conversation. Are you ready to see it wrapped up tonight? Are you enthusiastic for John Kerry or just signing on for his vaunted electability? Are you hanging tough for John Edwards? What does Edwards need tonight to credibly stay in the race? We're at 1-800-423-8255. This is special live coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point. We'll be right back. This is special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point, Public Radio's evening news program, and we are watching results come in from across the country tonight. Vermont and Georgia polls have closed. Projections in Vermont to Howard Dean, the man who has pulled out of the race. Exit polling in Georgia, where we have few hard results at this point, but exit polling now suggesting it will be John Kerry there, and John Edwards very much wanted that victory tonight. Maybe needed that victory to stay in the race. You can join our conversation tonight, Republicans and Democrats. How do you see the November race shaping up in these Super Tuesday results? How does a Kerry Bush face-off look to you? Better than a Bush-Edwards face-off or not? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And I see right now from Vermont, according to the Associated Press, roughly a 2-to-1 margin for Howard Dean. But the big story at this hour is in the South and in Georgia, where it appears, without full results in by any means yet, that John Kerry has bested John Edwards on his southern home turf. We're joined right now from Atlanta, Georgia, by Merle Black. He's professor of politics and government at Emory University. Good evening and welcome, Merle Black.
Good evening, Tom.
Thanks for being with us. What do you see in the results there at this hour, Merle Black, and what do you make of what you see?
Well, there's very little that they've shown of the results, but it appears that Edwards is losing to Kerry here in Georgia. I think there's a split among white and black Democrats, with black Democrats going strongly for Kerry and white Democrats going for Edwards. And there may be some activity here by Republicans and independents also in support of Edwards.
Merle, if it's a color line split, what does that portend for John Kerry if he's the nominee in November?
Well, I think Kerry's doing very well among African-American voters who make up close to half of Democrats in Georgia. So I think they will be extremely united behind Kerry in the fall campaign. The question is whether or not Kerry can draw enough support from whites to make up a majority of the vote that's cast in November against George Bush.
Well, look with us, first at Georgia and then right across the South. Is there somewhere, anywhere, that John Kerry might win?
Well, I think Florida would be a state they would certainly target because it was so close last time. And since the 1990s, Florida has really become a very competitive state in presidential politics. So any Democratic campaign, and especially the Kerry campaign, well, I think will target Florida. Now, depending on if Kerry's the nominee, I'm assuming he's going to be. If he picks Edwards as the vice presidential candidate, then they would also go for, you know, North Carolina. But I think it's going to be difficult for Kerry across much of the South because of the liberal position he's taken on lots of cultural issues. It's going to be very hard for him to pull votes in the rural and small town South. I don't think he's going to carry the suburbs. So I think it's still an uphill battle. That doesn't mean Kerry can't be elected president of the United States, but I think Bush remains stronger than Kerry would be in the South today.
Given the standoff tonight, would it be or would it have been any easier for John Edwards and widely in the South?
I think Edwards would have run more strongly in southern states than Kerry might do because he could have an appeal that goes beyond the Democratic base.
An appeal strong enough to win in those southern states in November election?
He'd put North Carolina into play. I don't know that he'd win. But and in some ways, the type of Democrats who usually win in the South today are those who kind of mix it up. They emphasize some conservative issues to go along with their liberal positions on issues. And Edwards really hasn't mixed it up. He certainly didn't mix it up this time the way, say, Bill Clinton mixed it up in 1992.
Merle Black, you know this region so well. Let's look at George Bush for just a moment. What is the Bush's strength in the South? How do you characterize it? What is it? Where is it? Are there any vulnerabilities in the GOP front, in the George Bush front in the South?
I think Bush does extremely well among Republicans in the region. He may have lost some support when he came out on the immigration issue. That's where a lot of hardcore conservatives would really differ with the president on that. He's seen as a very strong leader on the war. That would be the essence of his support in the region. He also does fairly well among white moderate voters. But I think George Bush is not as popular today as he was in 2002. In 2002, he was a tremendous political force for the Republicans, helped elect some Republicans to the Senate, defeated Democrats such as Max Cleland here in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I think George Bush's support has gone down among Southern whites, but he'd still be more than a 2-to-1 advantage over someone like a John Kerry.
And that in spite of the 100,000-plus jobs that Georgia has lost since President Bush took office.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the voters in Georgia don't see Kerry replacing those jobs. They don't see what his viable strategy would be.
Yeah, Jack Beatty, there's a tough point for any candidate to answer this year. The Democrats talk a lot about jobs, but there's not an easy answer.
No, they can't just wish them into being. And, you know, I mean, the outsourcing, I mean, Senator Kerry is a free trader. He's not going to talk about some sort of tariff that would, you know, essentially give us a chance to do some tariff on social dumping that countries that have low wages sending imports over here and our tariff making up the difference. He's never going to stand for anything like that. And short of something like that, there's no force that can keep these companies from offshoring. And the idea of his, I saw an estimate of his tax breaks that he wants to give corporations, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans next to what they can save on with Chinese labor.
Kathy Allen, from your perch in Seattle, what do you make of Merle Black's analysis of the South? He doesn't really, beyond Florida, he doesn't really see anywhere that John Kerry can win if indeed he is the nominee. Look the same to you?
Looks the same to me. In fact, I'm looking at different pockets of the South. There's not going to be that Clinton ricochet back that we would have expected had there been someone like Edwards. But I do think that Edwards has brought the debate to this free trade versus jobs. How are we going to all live together trying to get an economy that moves? That has been and will be, I believe, the Edwards legacy to this campaign, as Dean's legacy will be probably the rallying of all these young voices, which we will desperately need out west and in the north to be able to compensate for what's likely to be major Achilles heels down south.
It is too early to be calling anything tonight beyond Vermont at this point. But Merle Black, if indeed John Kerry ends up taking Georgia, we don't know how long John Edwards will stay in the race if he should pull out of contention. Do you see him as a strong vice presidential candidate? Do you see him pairing up voluntarily with John Kerry?
Yeah, I think he's a very attractive candidate for the Democrats. He's the kind of new young star that's emerged. It's very hard. I think one of his real weaknesses was that he's a freshman senator. Mm. And he's really not that well known outside of North Carolina. And wherever he's gone, he's made very positive impressions. So I think he's going to be a voice. A national voice for the Democratic Party in the future. I wouldn't be surprised to see him as the vice presidential candidate. And even if he's not on the ticket, I think he'll be strongly supportive of Kerry. I do think he's going to get out pretty soon here, because losing Georgia means there's absolutely no rationale to his claim that he's a regional candidate. He's only won one of four states in the South. So
yeah.
Kerry has done better there than John Edwards. But I think Edwards has really helped himself in this whole process.
And perhaps helped the party as well?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Young voice, very attractive speaker. He kind of took the style. His style really is that of a trial lawyer doing a summation before a jury. And he took that approach to Democratic primary voters and proved very effective.
The charm was powerful, but not powerful enough today, it looks at this point, to take Georgia, which he really needed. Merle Black, it's always great speaking with you. Thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Tom.
Merle Black joined us from Atlanta, Georgia. He's professor of politics and government at Emory University. Polls in Ohio have just closed at 7:30 Eastern Time. CNN is projecting a John Kerry win in Ohio. I want to turn right now to Columbus, where we're joined by Joe Hallett. He's senior political editor at the Columbus Dispatch. Good evening and welcome, Joe Hallett.
I'm happy to be here.
It's terrific to have you. What numbers are coming across your desk? What do you know, Joe?
Well, right now we're not getting any numbers, but the exit polls show a pretty substantial Kerry victory here. Not unexpected. He gained momentum throughout the week. He'd been here four times, although Edwards had been here four times, too. And so they lavished a lot of attention on this state, and that's important because this is going to be the battleground in the general election.
It absolutely appears that it will be. Joe Hallett, describe for us the role that Ohio is likely to play in November, just how important it's going to be and why.
Well, President Bush won here by 3.5 percentage points in 2000, and a lot of Democrats were mad at Al Gore because about three weeks before the campaign, or before the election, he was down by about 10 points, and he didn't think he could win Ohio, and then he came within 3.5 points, and Democrats say if he had not pulled out that he may have won this state because labor, which is very big here, as you know, really did a great job of getting out the vote. Now, Kerry has vowed that he will fight here till the end. And this state, as you know, is probably the bellwether of the nation. No Republican has ever won the presidency without winning Ohio. And in the 20th century, only two Democrats, FDR and Kennedy, FDR in 44 and Kennedy in 60, won the White House without Kerry in Ohio. So I'm looking for maybe a two-point race here in the fall.
A two-point race, just as close as it can be, and very likely the deciding state. Ohio. Gerald Austin said last week, Ohio is the Florida of 2000. For Joe Hallett, Ohio has lost more than 250,000 jobs since 2001, 67,000 jobs just last year, about 160,000 manufacturing jobs. John Edwards has spoken up very strong on trade and two Americas and all the rest. Why do you think John Kerry has carried, if indeed he is, as the exit polls suggest, carrying Ohio tonight? Why over Edwards?
Well, I think there are two reasons. One is that he hit the right issue. The right issue in this state is the economy, its jobs. There is really a misperception about NAFTA and trade here. Both Kerry and Edwards blame NAFTA for robbing this state of jobs, and about 70% of Ohioans actually believe trade costs this state jobs. Mm. But in fact, since NAFTA, Ohio exports to Canada and Mexico have increased $7 billion.
So exports are up, but what about jobs?
Jobs are down, and that's an anomaly because for about every $1 billion worth of exports, you can count on about 1,000 jobs, and that has not happened. And I think what we're seeing here is a transformation later than most states, probably than Massachusetts, has realized from the manufacturing sector, from the old line factory jobs to the more high-tech jobs. We have lagged the nation in that area, and as more and more companies that make things are moving overseas and to cheaper labor, those jobs have not been filled by the higher-tech jobs.
Joe Hallett from Columbus, Ohio, give us just a snapshot of the political forces in Ohio looking forward to November. As you said, very strong labor union movement there, but also a very strong GOP presence.
It is. Bush won here, won 72 of the 88 counties in the state in 2000. He outperformed normal Republicans, including his father, in the rural and suburban areas of the state, which tend to be more conservative. Gore did everything he needed to do in the big urban counties. But the Bush, I would not underestimate the Bush organization here. They intend to have 50,000 neighborhood captains in place by the November election. And
that must just be about every neighborhood in the state.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are going to leave nothing uncovered. They know how important this state is. And the Democrats are going to be hard-pressed to match that. But there's another force at work here, and that is, I think, as long as the Democrats, and presumably Kerry, can keep the message focused on the economy and jobs here, then that's a winner for them. That presents Bush with a problem here unless the economy starts to turn around and the jobs come with it.
And there's a smaller and smaller window for that to happen. Joe Hallett, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Happy to be with you.
Joe Hallett, senior political editor at the Columbus Dispatch in Columbus, Ohio, where exit polls are now projecting a Kerry victory. And again, we do not have hard results there to speak of yet, but the projection goes for John Kerry. And that was another critical state that John Edwards really needed. Kathy Allen, how do you interpret Ohio? It sounds as though we may learn a lot about this state nationally before the November 3rd vote.
It's definitely a battleground state. I would add that Pennsylvania is also going to be in the rough this year. I think that we're also looking at California from the perspective of the impact that Schwarzenegger is having on politics there, that populist politics. California's always been a good stronghold for Democrats to be able to get in there, raise a lot of money, raise a lot of hay, and be able to get the country watching on the evening news. I think Ohio is very much likely to be that, as with Pennsylvania this year.
Jack Beatty, you've got more exit polls from Ohio there?
Yes. Basically, John Kerry won every group in Ohio, all income groups, all education groups, all ideological groups, from very liberal to somewhat conservative, all religious groups, some handily. On the question, can beat Bush, 63-31. In short, it's a victory in every single category, in every single metric I can see here, up to special interest, vote by age, no matter what it is. Kerry winning big in Ohio, a very broad-based victory here. In contrast to the Georgia results, which showed a strong racial skew, Edwards doing very well among white voters and Kerry very well among black voters.
Let's get one more call before the break. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Vincent is calling from Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, Vincent. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Good to have you.
I was wondering what Ms. Allen thought about the idea that perhaps with the primaries wrapping up as quickly as they will if Kerry emerges as a clear winner, how that will affect national attention in terms of it shifting from the Democratic field where, you know, there's the excitement of a battle to President Bush and the fact that he's not doing too well in the polls. Is a part of that because simply the national attention is focused on the Democrats? So is the fact that this is wrapping up an advantage, or is it going to be an advantage for Bush and a disadvantage for
Kerry? It's a great question. It's been a very live one, Vincent. Thanks for calling with it. Kathy Allen, what do you think? If it's wrapped up tonight, good or bad for the Democrats and John Kerry?
I think it's very good, not only for the Democrats, but also for the American people that are getting a little bit of this Democratic primary fatigue. I think it's time to move on to the big race. Already we see in this week the beginning of the unfurling of all of the Bush money, the fact that he's now starting to buy TV throughout the country. Although it's a cable buy, the fact is that the president's having to spend money because those numbers of his are being driven down by the fact that we just keep looking better the more we consolidate into one candidate.
And Jack Beatty, most recent polls show the president's approval rating at about 50% now, and in a head-to-head races with John Kerry, the hypothetical, Kerry winning,
sometimes 6, sometimes 8 points. Now, whether that is, I think our questioner raises, caller raises a good point, is Kerry's lead an artifact of the attention that he's been getting and victory after victory, and will that sort of bounce subside now that the fall campaign goes on? Well, we'll have to see. Bush's numbers among independent voters, pretty much every category of voters except hardcore Republicans, have really been slipping. And even in the last month, where Bush has had a series of stumbles, in some polls I've seen him go down 8-10 points. So Bush is on his own dynamic, and it hasn't been a positive one for him. And today being the bloodiest day in Iraq since this Saddam's deposition, that isn't going to help either.
Of course, the GOP says just you wait, and the big Bush war chest of dollars and ad campaign begins this week. We're looking tonight at Super Tuesday results tonight from across the country. You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. For you, what's the major issue of this year's election, and where does it take your vote? 1-800-423-TALK. This is live special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of Public Radio's On Point. We'll be right back. This is special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point Public Radio's evening news program. We are looking at Super Tuesday results tonight from right across the country. And at this hour, as you may have heard, we have projections, though not hard and fast. But Howard Dean in Vermont has taken it by a long shot. That's the hometown boy, and he has won in Ohio. At this hour, the polls closed at 7:30. The projection is Ohio goes to John Kerry. Georgia, not projected definitively yet, but appears to be leaning toward John Kerry. That is a state that John Edwards really wanted, really needed, perhaps, to stay in this race. You can join our conversation tonight. Are you ready to see the Democratic primaries effectively wrapped up tonight? Is it about time? Is it too soon? Has the debate been good for the party? Is it time for the debate to end? And how does a Kerry-Bush face-off look to you? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm joined in the studio tonight by On Point News analyst Jack Beatty, senior analyst at the Atlantic Monthly, from Seattle, Washington, by Kathy Allen, Democratic political strategist, and right now from Burlington, Vermont, by Sam Hemingway, political reporter for the Burlington Free Press. In the state, Sam Hemingway, where I guess Howard Dean just won't quit.
Well, he quit, but his supporters haven't. They've given him a 2-1 win up here, a strong one, and he's not making any appearances tonight. He's only going to put out a statement, but it must make him feel good.
Sam, how do you interpret this big vote in Vermont? Is this just a love letter to the former governor?
Well, sure, I think there's some of that. I think also Vermonters, you know, we're a very small state, but in terms of money donated to that campaign and energy on the behalf of Vermonters that behind that campaign, a lot was invested in Howard Dean. We also, the state voted for him, or governor, for 5 times, and they, you know, obviously he was well-liked up here, and it looks to me like Vermonters still like him just as much as they ever did, and they wanted to give him a little thank you note. There was an ad campaign run by a California group called Truth and Hope. They put on some TV ads and some radio ads around the state that basically were, you know, thank you, Howard Dean, and You know, it's good to give. Let's get him some delegates. Let's make sure that what he said still lives on to the convention. And I think that probably helps some people feel like, okay, I guess I can still vote for him rather than I'm wasting my time, wasting my vote.
Sam, what do the numbers show, at least to the projections there tonight? John Edwards was not in this race, but what do you see for Howard Dean, for John Kerry, for Dennis Kucinich, Al Sharpton?
Well, the numbers we've got are all mostly exit polling numbers. We're still, you know, the town by town stuff takes a while to bring in, but I've got it about 63-33-3 for Kucinich. And in, you know, small numbers for Wesley Clark was on the ballot and Lyndon LaRouche was on the ballot. Al Sharpton was not. So, and nor was, as you said, John Edwards.
But that big vote for Howard Dean tonight, and he has not come out, you say. Has he been making any appearances in Vermont since he retreated after his withdrawal from the race?
No. In fact, he is in the midst. He had meetings today with what's left of his staff up here. They're trying to put together sort of a grassroots progressive organization that's going to have its debut on the 18th of March when he's going to announce what he wants to do. He's got, and I think the Democratic Party knows this, he's got this this huge list of new faces, new voters, and young people who came to his campaign. Everybody would like that list. Everybody would like to in the party would like to get their hands on it. Now, Dean, I think, wants to keep that list. I don't know if he may share it in some way, shape, or form, but he wants to convert what he built over the internet and through his so-called grassroots efforts of last year into something that's ongoing, maybe sort of an alternative to the DLC.
And Sam, lastly, let me just ask you quickly before, I know you have to go, you're a busy man up there, but Howard Dean made a big splash in this primary season before his star went out. Do you have any hints of his frame of mind? How's he taken it?
You know, Dean is someone who I think we all found, I knew as a reporter covering him for a long time, but I think the national press got to see, he doesn't show, he is not a emotive type of person. He's emotive in terms of speaking, but not in terms of showing his personal side. It had to hurt. There were, you know, certainly stories of tears in the eyes and that sort of thing. Howard is a doctor. And the one thing we found out when he was governor is he has this mentality that a doctor has, which is you know, I got to move on to the next patient. I can't
right.
hold on to the pain and suffering of this one. I've got to move on to the next one. And I think he has approached his life that way. And I think I don't believe that anybody can move on from the experience that he went through.
But the diagnosis
is in the past. But,
yep.
but I do believe that he's more able than most of us to sort of move on to the next phase.
The diagnosis is in, and Howard Dean moving on with a nice laurel wreath from his home state in Vermont. Sam Hemingway, thanks a lot for joining us tonight.
Sure.
Sam Hemingway, political reporter with the Burlington Free Press. I want to turn back to Ohio, that critical battleground in this fall's November election, where whoever comes out of this nomination, very likely now John Kerry and George Bush, will face off. We're joined by Ohio Congressman, Democratic Congressman from Ohio's 9th District, Marcy Kaptur. She joins us from Washington. Good evening and welcome, Marcy Kaptur.
Good evening. Thank you so very much. I love being on your program.
It's great having you, Congresswoman, and thanks for being with us again. You represent Toledo. You're watching what's going on out there. It's been projected for John Kerry. Are you surprised?
I know I'm really not surprised. I think that the weight of opinion was beginning to fall that direction before the candidates finally got to Ohio over the last week or so. But I think Senator Edwards will probably have a strong second-place showing. And our polls just closed a few minutes ago, so the results aren't all in yet. But we were glad to have the attention. This is the first time where Ohio has been this early in the cycle.
Yeah, and a very big race that we heard earlier from Columbus, Ohio, just how close this race may be this fall from Joe Hallett there. How do you read the November election if it's John Kerry, if he is the nominee? How does this race stack up in Ohio? How tough a challenge for the Democratic nominee to win there in November?
Well, let me say this, that John Kerry has terrific support from veterans. We have more veterans per square mile, I think, than almost any other state in the union. And so we have organized chapters of every major veterans organization in the country, and we are a very, very patriotic state. Many of our people are deployed. I think he will do extremely well and strengthen his following in that segment of the population. I think also he is someone who comes from a state where education has been a priority, where jobs are a priority. I think that he's been a voice for that already. We're very pleased to see what he said about jobs and trade and the importance of having labor and environmental provisions in the main body of trade agreements. We think the debate in Ohio has been good to keep the focus on the economy, on health benefits. He's talked a lot about that. Ohioans are falling off health benefits under this president, and we have many, many Ohioans who have had to pay higher fees. Our prescription drugs are going out of sight in terms of cost. So he's addressed all those issues. So I think he's very acceptable in terms of Ohio. Mm. And I think one thing I personally am interested in, and he's referenced this, and that is renewable energy as a new source of job creation for our country. Ohio is dead center in that struggle. We are a major agricultural state, and we need to earn money from the market, not from federal subsidy. So I think he can really carry that issue.
That looks like an opportunity for you. Marcy Kaptur, if you'll bear with us or join with us, I want to turn to callers. A lot of them want to join us. Melissa is calling from Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Melissa. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
Great. I just was calling tonight to just bring up a point that everyone keeps missing. I feel like it's the pink elephant in the room.
Describe it to us.
Well, I keep hearing how everyone is voting for Kerry because people think Kerry's going to beat Bush. And I find that so curious because in my mind, in my opinion, I live in Brooklyn, I don't think Kerry can beat Bush. And this is not whether I would like to see Kerry in office or not. I just do not see him as electable.
Does that mean you were an Edwards supporter or someone else, Melissa?
No, I'm not telling you I'm supporting. I'm an independent. I'm not a Democrat anymore for other reasons.
So what's the weakness in John Kerry that you see?
Well, you know, I worked for Dukakis in '88, and unfortunately I worked down in Nashville, which was a very sad story because he did so poorly in Nashville. And I just...
You're fearing deja vu all over again.
Now, I'm from Chicago. I mean, I'm a northerner, but I did live in the South for a long time, and I lived in Memphis and everywhere. And people down there just really don't like Northeasterners. I mean, they just have a real... You know, and again, it took Kennedy, you know, he had to get Johnson on the ticket. Now, maybe he's going to get Edwards, I don't know. But the other thing is, if you know, I think Mickey Kouse from Slate today brought up a really great point. He said, okay, I have two fears. You know, we're going to, do we want Kerry in the office, you know, or do we not want Kerry in the office? Because what if he does get elected? Is he really going to be a good president?
Well,
that's the other thing I'm not hearing about.
That's always the big question. Let us take it up right here. And Melissa, thanks for your call from Brooklyn. Marcy Kaptur, you've got a little bit of north and a little bit of south in your Ohio state by the time you get down to Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
What do you make of John Kerry's electability? Has everybody just jumped on the bandwagon too easily here, or can he really bring it home?
I think Melissa brings up a good point about regional balance and the importance of someone from the Northeast being able to appeal to the various regions of the country. And I think that whoever is selected as vice president can probably help in that regard. But I do think on the issues, I think people are going to vote their pocketbooks in the South, in the Midwest, in the West, in the Northeast. I think that, take a question like energy independence. If you come to Ohio and you look at our mining regions, which are on their knees, if you look at our rural communities, which survive on federal subsidy, if he can talk about job creation, if he can talk about clean coal, if he can talk about helping to pump real new energy into the cities of our country, including Brooklyn, where Melissa lives, by having a major infrastructure program to jumpstart this economy and build new water and sewer lines, to repair our roads, just basic stuff that any president does when you want to try to get people working and being productive again.
But Melissa campaigned for Dukakis, and he fell hard. Is there something, anything intrinsic in a Northeast liberal that just won't play, that just won't cut it?
Well, I think that John Kerry's military experience rings in very heavily in a state like ours. And he is the real thing in terms of that service. And one thing I really like about John Kerry, he's a little bit older than I am, but I don't think we as a country have ever really bound together the Vietnam generation. I think he holds the potential to heal that generation. And that is something that is long overdue. Many presidential candidates walk away from it. They're afraid to touch it. They don't know. He handles it with such aplomb. I really admire him for that.
He's not afraid to bring it up, and he brings it up from a pretty strong position with those medals around his neck.
That's right. And, you know, it's interesting to watch the audiences because many vets are coming to him. If you go around this country, the homeless of our nation are largely, or at least 40%, are veterans. From various conflicts, but certainly Vietnam, and he is able to reach them in a way that I have not seen another candidate do.
Of course,
that is very powerful.
It is. There are many slices of electorate to reach, but that's one he certainly touches. Marcy Kaptur, it's always great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Marcy Kaptur, Democratic Congresswoman from Ohio's 9th District. That's around Toledo. Kathy Allen, there's a Democratic congressman from Ohio saying he can do it. There's a caller from Brooklyn saying, wait a minute, I'm not sure about this electability. What's your sense of John Kerry at this point?
Well, all of us that know that we have to explain Boston roots wonder when we set a new candidate loose from Boston that's going to be moving throughout the country trying to build a consensus. We were all there for Dukakis. Let me just say that in this, I think she does bring up a good point in terms of feeling alone in the South with just a New Englander leading the ticket. I must tell you that we've started seeing out West a number of people thinking that John Edwards might be better not as the vice president but as the replacement for John Ashcroft, and that more people find that more interesting in terms of the rights of folks. I can tell you one issue that, in addition to jobs and education, which will be the two major links to all of those voters that may be undecided at this point, and that is the national security. The one thing about Kerry, he's got a story. That story is not only compelling, it is the story of the baby boomers who do vote greater than others. The other thing is that, you know, we're not liked very much around the world. That wasn't the case. And the one thing I know about Americans is that we get very upset at the thought of being unliked by so much of the world.
And John Kerry speaks directly to that. Kathy Allen, I know we've got to let you go, but thanks so much for being with us tonight. It's just been great having you.
You bet. We'll see you the rest of the evening.
Yeah, thanks. Kathy Allen, Democratic political strategist and head of the Seattle-based Campaign Connection. Jack Beatty, here we are at this hour. Howard Dean in Vermont. John Kerry in Ohio projected, and it looks like he's going to squeak out Georgia as well. This is a big start for John Kerry tonight.
It is, and it, as one of our guests said, it kicks out the rationale, if he carries Georgia, of John Edwards continuing.
Well, Super Tuesday goes on. This is live special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point. Thanks for being with us.